Welcome to Top Gun Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the movie Top Gun 1 minute at a time. I'm your pilot, Brian Kaboom-Boucher, and with me again, Robert Stryker Smith.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. We are here again to talk about minute 97. Minute 97 begins with a swing and a miss and ends with a foul ball of sorts. We'll see. So yesterday, we at the end of the minute, Maverick was taking another shot. And wait, was it Maverick yesterday? I can't remember.
So I think it was the MiG.
Or the MiG. Yeah, the MiG took a shot. Yeah.
Our stormtrooper extraordinaire.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way with my notes. Here we go. I should have known this. Okay. I've never seen the movie before. First time.
Hey, me too. Is this where we talk about my history with the movie?
We'll do that later. Unless you want to talk about your history of the movie right now, that's fine. I don't care. Yeah. Either way. Okay. So, yeah, the MiG shot a missile and he misses. Thank God. Yeah.
So, when that happens, if I can ask, as soon as I saw that, I had the question I wrote down on my notes. When you miss with a missile and it just kind of flies off into nowhere, not to sound silly, but where exactly does it go? Is there a distance before it self-detonates? Does it just fall out of the sky and you know, prayers be for whoever's under it? What exactly happens to an errant missile?
You know, that's a good question. And I should know this since I used to build bombs when I was in the military. But I don't know. I've always wondered that myself. I imagine they'd go so far and then they would just fall. And I guess, on the front of the missile, there's a fuse. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's more of a bomb. The beginning on the nose of a missile is where the like with this shot. Okay, they always radar lock them, right? So it should be following, you know, the plane, you know, I would imagine, but it's not a heat seeker. A heat seeker missile would follow the heat source, which would be the engine of the F-14.
And those are the ones you see in like the James Bond movies, the other movies, that if it misses, it's going to do a hard right turn and come back at you.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And like earlier, when Hollywood and Wolfman got hit with the missile, that missile went straight up the right engine, you know? So we kind of had a little bit of a discussion with that. So you have to go back and check that one out. I would imagine at some point it would just explode or it would fall out of the sky. Luckily they are over the ocean at this point, so it's not gonna, you know, hurt any civilians.
But it's a spectacular version of redneck fishing.
Yeah. Maybe
pre-cooked, you get cooked fish with it even.
Yeah. You ever want to try shark? Here you go. All right, so Maverick is now banking left, is what he says. Oh, yeah, he can see him. And so he's like, go get him, you know, get him ice. So ice comes along and he's behind the MiG, obviously. When we see him going in, his wings are swept back. You know, so he's actually like, you know, when the wings are all the way back is when they're like going in, like, supersonic speed, you know, they're going really fast. They should not be going very fast at this point. His wings should be out. This is more, you can get more maneuverability with it.
Well, he's excited. He's got a target in his sights. He wants to get there as quick as he can, right?
Yeah, sure. But at the same time, you know, Merlin notices that another MiG has gotten behind Maverick. You know, he's like, we, you know, Mig's on our tail. We got to get out of here. And Maverick's like, I can't leave Ice, but he's going to get behind us. I'm not leaving my wingman. He's finally learned that he needs to, you know, not leave his wingman to go off and do his, you know, his thing, because it's always turned out to be bad, you know, in his experience. And he's, so he's learned his lesson, not leaving my wingman. Good job, Maverick. You finally learned something. But Ice is like, I'm on his tail. Here's the one time I'm not exactly happy with Iceman's or Val Kilmer's acting here, because he's like, but I mean, I guess for cinematic purposes, you know, he's like, I'm on his tail. I'm going for the shot right now. Roger, engaged. I got radar lock. Taking the shot. Fire. You know, he's like, he's taking the audience through every single little step that he would do, you know, to, you know, fire a shot at this enemy, Mig. What do you think?
So you're saying that his call signs to Iceman should be exposition?
Yeah, exposition man.
So on this part, he does end up shooting. My first note of the minute, except for, starts with another missile firing. Hooray. Because obviously we started our last minute with that as well. Right. Then my next one is Iceman got one with an exclamation point. When he's getting ready to fire, I notice on, and forgive me if there's a proper term for this, the joystick. Is that the proper term for the what he's using to fire?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll go with that. All right. Yeah, definitely go. Yep.
I don't want to get tweeted by a lot of Navy and Air Force guys that I don't even have Twitter. on the joystick, I noticed that there are different settings. There's guns. I paused that there's SW and then there's SP/PH. And he switches up to the top one to fire the missile. And it kind of goes with my question last minute of bullets versus missiles. But do you know what those different settings are? Obviously, guns is guns, but
yeah, guns is guns. SW is Sidewinder. So, and the SP or PF, which would be, it's called the Phoenix missile, I believe.
Okay, so it's the different type of missile that it'd be firing.
Right, yeah. Which is funny though, because like you said, at the top has, you know, like got the little strip, you know, look like used to use back in the old days, the little price gun thing, you know, you had the red tape, you know, in it, and it put the little indention of the letters in, and that's what it kind of looks like here on the joystick. You know, it says missiles right across the top. Like, you don't know that this, you know, you have to, everything's got to be labeled.
Yeah. So it's an exposition movie. You know, not only is the pilot an exposition dump, but the plane itself is just loads of exposition.
Yeah. So yeah, he switches up to the missiles, the Phoenix, and then he fires it, and he hits him. Yay!
He got one.
Ooh. It's funny because he yells. Bingo, which if our listeners have heard, listened to back in like weeks two or three, something like that, we hear that term bingo. In military terms, in real life, bingo means we're out of gas. Not good. You probably shouldn't say bingo over the radio, because you're going to confuse the people on the ship and your wingman. But maybe he wasn't. He didn't flip the toggle switch for the microphone, you know. So,
well, he's excited. I mean, maybe instead of bingo he could have yelled Yahtzee, you know.
Blackjack, woohoo.
Oh, that's a different call sign. That's the guy in the next plane.
So we get more guns coming after him, but this time Iceman's plane gets hit. Uh-oh. Iceman yells, I'm hit. That's the end of the minute, though. Cliffhanger again. So.
And for that, so obviously back in, you watch like World War II movies and such like that, you know, your big bomber planes can take some damage, or even your your old fighters in the World War One days that like Star Wars copied off of in the movies. Mm-hmm. They could take some damage with some bullets because things were a little bit more spread out engine wise. There's a lot more of disposable area, I guess, that you could be hit with. With a fire jet, you would think that it's so compact to be speedy that there's not a whole lot of areas that you can take that kind of damage. And he takes quite a few bullet hits. Is this as bad a news as I'm feeling it's bad news? I obviously haven't, I haven't watched the next move, minute yet. We'll do that tomorrow. But is it as ugly as it seems?
It seems to be. I mean, I would imagine that you get hit with what it looks like about 8 or 9 different bullets.
Oh, yeah, there's a good 9 to 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah, like you said, you know, especially where, you know, it's right across where it says rescue thing, which I believe that's towards the middle of the plane, you know? Yeah, it's probably not good.
Have we checked on Slider? Is he okay?
I don't know. I mean, they don't really see, we don't see, you know, we don't see him. So, not in this minute. All we see is Iceman. And then at the, all we see now is the plane we see from, you know, a wide shot. You know, we see the plane making a hard bank to the left, you know, and all the smoke come flying out of the back of it. You know, so this is not looking good for Iceman and Slider at all.
Well, it's a movie trope that, you know, just the hero survives the final battle. So I don't foresee Iceman making it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but yeah, maybe we need to start prepping for another dramatic scene of Maverick mourning Iceman. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and plus we still don't know what happened to Hollywood or in Wolfman, you know, or in last week's minutes. We only saw one parachute, you know, come out after they got shot down. So let's hope that they're okay too. It's going to be some sad times for Maverick if they don't make it. So I'm guessing that you may have something to say about another one of our fine actors in this
movie. I do. Thank you. So those that watch listen to my podcast know that I do a segment called Remember the Name, which is just a little bit of a deeper dive into some of the actors, directors, the movers and shakers of the making of the movie to get a feel for where they were at when the movie came out. Today, I'm going to jump into one Mr. Val Kilmer. Yes. Was not that well known. He wasn't a Tom Cruise in this situation when Top Gun came out. So looking at IMDb, his big credit that people may have known him from, 1984 Top Secret, which is obviously one of the Zuckerberg vehicles, more like in the vein of Naked Gun and the true sequel to Top Gun, Hot Shots. But see if I can get you a pop on that one. But yeah, so he was obviously the lead character in Top Secret. Not a whole lot of people got to see that, but became a big enough star to where he got attracted into Top Gun in 86. But that really kind of opened the door for him in regards to leading man status. So moves on to that into 1988 with Willow, the George Lucas classic in regards to little people and wizards. But that is where I was first exposed to Val Kilmer. That's where I really became familiar with him as an actor, playing Mad Mod again in Willow. Those that go back may not even realize that that was Val Kilmer. It took me years to go back and realize from the things I also knew him in that was actually him.
Yeah, that the long hair and it was brown and did not look like
it. Does not scream Val Kilmer. No,
not at all with it, because he has, you know, his blonde hair and.
Yeah, goes into 1991. He is Jim Morrison in The Doors.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I watched that movie. That was him through and through.
Oh yeah, he dead up looked like him, you know. And he sang some of the songs, you know.
Yes.
In that movie, and he was also with Meg Ryan in that movie.
This is true. Everything comes together.
Yes, Ring Theory.
Speaking of Ring Theory, 1993 is the first one that I know him as Val. Obviously, I knew him in Willow, but I didn't know him as Val Kilmer. My first exposure to Val Kilmer as Val Kilmer is Tombstone, playing Doc Holliday, which you know, you name, you ask 10 people on the street, a Val Kilmer role, that's probably going to be the one that they're going to come up with. That is one of his more iconic ones, as the irreparable Doc Holliday. Yep. Tombstone, obviously, is where I am currently 12 minutes away from. I drive past the OK Corral on a regular basis, going to and from work. So Tombstone, great movie. I was sad that that one was already taken in the movies by minutes genre. That was one I'd hoped to jump in on. But in listening to that one, those guys did a great job. I don't know that I would ever be able to perfect that one. So I will gladly listen to that. But yeah, definitely check out Tombstone Minutes. Mm-hmm. And then 1995, Batman Forever. I mean, he is Batman. Right. He is not necessarily my Batman. I grew up in the era of Adam West was Batman with me as a kid on the reruns. But Michael Keaton, obviously, is my Batman. But for a whole generation,
same.
That is Batman. And he did a great job. And Batman Forever is one of the better ones. It's not Batman and Robin. So that by default makes it better.
Yes, I agree.
Also in 1995, he did Heat. Which obviously is a classic as well, but is the, if you don't count the three or four frames that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino are in the same scene in Godfather 2, this is the first meetup of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. So excellent movie. Definitely check that one out. But Val Kilmer holds his own with some very heavyweight actors in regards to that. Then 1996, Island of Dr. Moreau, actually was one of the movies that started my love for good, bad movies. if you enjoy the train wreck that is the Island of Dr. Moreau, check out the train wreck that is the making of the Island of Dr. Moreau, which in some cases is much better than even the movie.
I totally agree with that too.
Yes, it's worth a watch, if only just for Brando and his strange sidekick. But 1997, The Saint. But Val Kilmer didn't have as obviously a prolific career as Tom Cruise, but when you look at what he's done, he is one of the better iconic character actors. You know, for a leading man, he's a great character actor, and I don't mean that as a slight, but when you look at what he's done, everybody remembers the characters that he's been. So obviously tragically he's been ill recently, to where he's no longer able to really use his voice and such, sadly, on that. I hear they did a pretty good turnaround on our workaround on that with Top Gun Maverick, which I'm sure you'll go over when you hit on that. But yeah, going over the life and times of Val Kilmer, Batman, Jim Morrison, Mad Mardigan, Doc Holliday, whatever you want to call him. Definitely a top tier actor and multiple time sexiest man alive, but I don't vote for that. We'll see.
Yeah. I think my favorite role that Val Kilmer has done is in Real Genius.
That's
probably my favorite. I mean, of course I love Tombstone. I love Top Gun, you know, but I think that's probably my favorite is in Real Genius.
And again, he's one of those actors where whatever that answer to the question was, you're not wrong. he is just that, he's that diversified in his characters that by saying you really love Doc Holliday, you're not saying you don't like his Jim Morrison. If you're saying that you really like his Iceman, you don't like his role in Roger. He's been in so many iconic character roles that there's no real wrong answer to what's your favorite Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot to ask you yesterday, what's your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
My favorite Tom Cruise. So my exposure to Tom Cruise came a little bit later. I was born in late 82, so I missed early young Tom Cruise, and including this movie, as we'll find my history with this movie is not as in depth as maybe it would be. I got exposed to Tom Cruise in more of Interview with the Vampire, Legend, the things that I could watch as a younger teen. But not be too scarred for life. That was where I really kind of discovered him. And then obviously went back in time to discover young Tom Cruise. So reading The Outsiders in school, and then going to see that movie, which great movie, great cast for that. I'm not sure if anybody's ever jumped on that one, but that's a movie rich in the Remember the Name vein for that. But that's where I really kind of fell in love with him. And then obviously I followed through with him on the Mission Impossible. That's a series that I truly, truly enjoy. Eyes Wide Shut was a good one for me because I was right in that impressionable teenage age where that was just a good enough movie to catch my attention for various reasons. But yeah, that's where I really know him predominantly from, is from Legend and Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely a big fan of Legend, not just because of Tom Cruise, but also, I mean, the whole cast, Tom Cruise, Mia Sara, and of course, Tim Curry.
Dude, Devil Tim Curry. Yeah.
Yes. He is awesome. Devil. Yeah. Probably my favorite, person to ever play a devil. And that's Tim Curry.
But Pacino is probably my number two, but he is.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
He, he's a far second from Tim Curry's devil. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And that was.
That was Remember the Name.
Cool.
I feel like I'm home. I am home right now, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, I don't mind my wingman to bring, you know, parts of their shows into mine. I think that's awesome.
I appreciate that. It makes me feel comfortable. It's a little crowded here in the cockpit. You know, there's not a lot of room to move around. So if I can have little trinkets of my own, you know, decorating things, it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable.
Well, yeah. Yeah. All right. So yeah. Won't you tell us about your call sign, Striker?
So obviously when you reached out to guest host on here, one of the things you mentioned was that, you know, I have all my wingmen come up with a call sign. I had to do a lot of deep thought on that because there's so many different things that I would like to encapsulate life-wise, but I chose Striker. Anybody that knows me or has talked to me for more than 6 minutes knows that bowling is a huge part of my life and has been for my entire family. We go back 3 and 4 generations. My dad, who you'll hear me talk about a lot, I apologize, got me started when I was about 3 years old. My dad was actually he was inducted into the Lima, Ohio Bowling Association Hall of Fame several years ago.
Very cool.
He got in there for community service. So he served on the board of directors and ran tournaments and such for like 30, 40 years and was always that go-to guy. And he instilled that in all of his kids. So bowling has always been a big part of our life. We've done what we can to grow that sport. I actually started a scholarship foundation, if I can talk about that for a moment.
Oh, of course.
On Father's Day back in 2016, I came up with the idea to start a scholarship in honor of my dad. My dad was still with us at that time. So we were very blessed to be able to do this while he was still living to witness this. But we started a scholarship for him called the Bob Smith Youth Leaders of Bowling Scholarship. And it goes to youth bowlers that are not just really big into the sport. So you don't have to average 200. It's not based on merit. It's based on your community service. So not only with the sport of bowling, but just community service in general. So if you can demonstrate that you're out there being involved, helping your community, doing things to show that you're a genuinely good person, this scholarship's for you. And we named it in honor of dad, because that's obviously something that he started instilling in all of us at a young age. And then the very next year, we took it a step further and I started the Smith Family Bowling Scholarship Foundation, the SFBSF, and it took it to the next level. So we're doing a lot more scholarships. We're doing it all throughout Ohio. I started it out here in Arizona. We're trying to get nationwide doing those things, getting those scholarships in the hands of the kids that really deserve it and are putting in the hard work to make the world a little bit better place. And at the same time, get dad's name out there. So so Striker is my call sign because of my love for bowling, my history with bowling, but predominantly as kind of a memento for dad, who we unfortunately lost this past year. But thank you. I appreciate being able to talk to that. If anybody's interested in more information, definitely check us out at rtsbowling.com or sfbsf.com. I'm not really good with short names, so that's a little bit of a word salad, the Smith Family Bowling Scholarship Foundation, so we just go by the initials. But definitely, if you're a bowler, know a bowler, know a youth bowler, get our word out there so we can try to get some money in their hands and help offset their costs for future education.
Cool. I will definitely put that in the show notes. So
I appreciate that.
So look in the show notes. I'll have a link to that. Go in there and check it out. And if you can, hit the little donate button and help out this scholarship, you know, help the youth, because they sure need it.
Yeah. And we appreciate them. And 100% of the money that comes in goes directly that I donate the admin fees for anything that we ever do out of my pocket, out of my sister's pocket. So every dollar that you donate to us goes directly to a scholarship in some form or fashion to one of the youth bowlers. So
that's awesome. We'll come back tomorrow and see how this battle keeps going. Because it's not over yet.
We've only just begun. Well, I mean, we're almost 100 minutes in, but you get the point.
Yeah. Ghost Rider, this is Kaboom requesting you to like and subscribe and share with your friends. If you could, please rate and review me on your favorite podcatching apps. You can continue the discussion on Facebook at Top Gun Minute Listener School. Find us on Twitter at Top Gun Minute Pod. Send your emails to me at topgunminutepod@gmail.com. You can find us and all your other favorite movies done in this format at moviesbyminutes.com. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, this episode pattern is full.